praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 3. No limits. It's how we should live life. In Him, no limits. Hallelujah. Begin reading at verse number 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If we have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me by you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Now that's us, non-Jews or Gentiles, so that's us. Should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God's not trying to hide anything from us. Okay? We just got to seek him and he will reveal. So he wanted to be known by the church. He wants the church to know his wisdom. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The only thing that will limit what you get from God is you. That's it. No limits. We need to live our Christian life like my sister drives. When Rhonda sees a speed limit sign, Brian, she doesn't see 35, 45, 70. She sees no limits. Pedal to the metal. And when we need to live life like that in Christ, we so many times hesitate and back up and don't really get what we need. And it comes down to, as they was talking in Sunday school, it's the way you live, the way you think, the way you speak. Because the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ belongs to all who belong to Christ. So Paul wrote these things in 1 Corinthians. He said, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. So everything belongs to us. The man who belongs to Christ is a child of God, and his Father will, we believe, do anything for him. Nothing of the Father's resources shall be held back when you need something. Romans 8:32. Listen to what God did. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The world doesn't see it that way. the world, life, death, the present, or the future. If you want it, you can live life without limits. It's yours. You belong to Christ. Christ belongs to God. For what would God give that would approach the cost of Calvary? This is the first piece of evidence in the Bible that God is for you. You got to realize that God's not the big guy up there, as the one cartoon shows, a little boy with a magnifying glass burning the ant. God doesn't do that. We get people that, because things didn't go the way they thought they should, they turn around and they get mad at God. And I'm thinking, Lord have mercy, you're mad at the wrong person. You're mad at the one that holds your life in the palm of his hand. The Bible says we are to fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, and that's God. And so to shake your fist at God is living on thin ice, very dangerous ground. We've all went through things that we don't like. We've all experienced things that we don't like. But we got to realize that God knows the future, God understands what he's doing, and that God is for you. And as a recipient of the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, Paul refers to himself in two ways. As we just read there, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. He makes a bold claim. He possesses the knowledge of the mystery of Jesus Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, meaning that in the Old Testament, they didn't understand a lot of things. The power fell, the power left. They was kind of wandering around in darkness. They didn't have what we have. So Paul claimed a unique privilege. God had made known unto him the mystery. It had come through revelation. Paul would contend that revelation comes primarily in two ways, and he alludes to both in his passage. First, revelation comes by prophetic inspiration. What happens is God breaks into our lives and speaks to us in a direct way. But when he breaks into our lives, we have to allow him to break into our lives. We don't allow God to break into our lives. This had happened to Paul. Amen. What he's talking about on numerous occasions, the most dramatic being his conversion on the way to Damascus, amen, to bring Christians back for trial, amen, when all of a sudden the light shone and it spoke to him. It was Jesus Christ and his conversion there. Paul is referring to this experience as the occasion for God sharing with him the mystery. He told the Gentiles this in Galatians, amen, that his conversion was a revelation of Jesus Christ in which he received directly from God the gospel that he preached. In Galatians chapter 1, he says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." So Paul did not get this, amen, from the Sanhedrin. He did not get this from the Bible seminary. He did not get this from anybody else. It was a revelation of Jesus Christ. "For neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversion in times past." Ananias said, when the Lord spoke to him and said, "Saul's coming to your house," something happened. He said, "You know what this guy's done to the church?" He said, "In conversation in times past in Jews' religion, that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." As Paul reflected upon all that had happened, he felt that God had set him apart for a special task. This conviction is rooted in the marvelous Old Testament prophets in whom Paul was thoroughly grounded. Jeremiah, I want to tell you what, your life is not an accident. You're not floating around, amen, amen, just from corridor to corridor. Amen. You got a purpose. You got to understand that you was created with a purpose. You was created for a reason. A lot of people don't believe that, but listen to what the Bible says in Jeremiah. Amen. The first chapter. Amen. And this is all for the abortion people too. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Amen. So you got to understand that God's got a plan for your life. Amen. See, the plan is that you got to turn your life over to God before you find out what the plan is. Amen. One, God had a plan for Paul, as he does for everybody sitting in here today. Paul saw the intervention of God in his life, not as an accident, not as God forcing his way in. Amen. But Paul allowed it, and it was a happening. Amen. Part of the eternal plan of God. Amen. Listen to what David writes. David said, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Amen. If we could not understand the plan, we would just wander around aimlessly. Amen. Not knowing what to do. But I'm going to tell you this. Amen. God's got a plan for your life. Amen. And you need to accept it, and you need to realize, I'm tired of living life, amen, not knowing what I'm doing, not knowing where I'm going. But I'm telling you what, amen, there's one that sits on the throne, amen, that can put, amen, the pieces of the puzzle together, and he has a plan for your life, because he has ordained you from your mother's womb. I hear people say all the time, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. Why do you want to wander around aimlessly? Why do you want to wander around in darkness? Why do you want to wander around with a drama going on all the time and a mess going on all the time? Why do you want to wander around like that? I know we all have certain things that goes on in our life, but why do you wander around not knowing what the plan is? Why do you want to say to yourself, I am struggling? Amen, it's always a struggle. Things seem to be always going haywire. It seems like nothing goes right. It seems like the family has problems, and there's issue all the time. I tell people, if it's broke, Brian, fix it. And the only way you're going to fix it is you're going to have to come to the knowledge of who Jesus is and start living life without limits. If we go back to Ephesians chapter 3, he says, whereby when ye read, that you may understand my knowledge in the mysteries of Christ. God wants you to understand him, which in other ages, as we said, was not made known to the sons of men, but now revealed unto his holy apostle and prophets by the Spirit. But what is the mystery Paul is talking about? The mystery is not Christ's secret, but the secret is who Christ is. That's what he's trying to get out. Paul's talking about one significant phase of God's secret, which is in Christ, in whom all things is his, and he unites all things. That particular phrase is the calling of the Gentiles to share equally with the Jews, amen, the promise which had been given only as a gift to Israel. As we read there in Ephesians 3:6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Amen. What a fullness of grace. Fellow heirs, partakers of the promise. The promise was given only to Abraham and to his descendants. Amen. For the promise in Romans says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham, amen, nor to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Amen. Meaning that through faith, every one of us is now saying that we're part of the body of Christ. Amen. Through Abraham, the promise was given. Amen. Isaac and Jacob, amen, came along
along. Amen. Isaac had the 12 sons. Amen. And all of a sudden his name, amen. I mean, Jacob had the 12 sons and his name was changed to Israel. All of a sudden now, amen, we see what God's plan was trying to do. Amen. God called Israel as his people. Amen. When Jesus came, they rejected him. And Paul, on the way to Damascus, amen, was called to be a preacher to the Gentile people. Amen. Not only to them, but whosoever will. And Paul began to preach a message. Amen. That, amen, what was the should be given to the world. Amen. As an inheritance. And we ought to say in our life, amen, there's no limit to what God can do in my life. I can receive from Christ. I'm telling you what, people, the church has been given great power to be able to effectively get the message of salvation out to a lost world. The early church exploded on the scene, got everybody's attention in Acts chapter 2, and I'm not going to read it all. We know what happened. Amen. The Bible said they were all filled in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. And they came out. And the Bible says there in verse 8, how do we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? I believe this is the tongues of communication. Amen. It's not what their heavenly language is, but it was the tongues. Amen. That when they came out of the upper room, they could speak to all those in around them. And they heard the message. Amen. The message of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you what, Christ kindles enthusiasm. Amen. Spontaneity. Amen. Just as the wind of the Spirit, amen, energized a new thought. I'm telling you what, the fire of the Spirit set the followers of Jesus Christ aflame with emotion and intensity. Amen. The visual evidence of the fire above the heads of the people was another outward sign that became an inner reality. The Spirit never bypasses our humanity. He transforms it and then flows through it. The miracle of Pentecost was that the followers of Jesus Christ, amen, became capable, amen, of understanding who he was. They became capable of reaching out to those and loving those that was unloved. Amen. They became capable of being unique, free from the limits of this world, free to love each other, amen, free to stand up, amen, and speak about, amen, a Savior that they had seen going back into heaven. I'm telling you what, the church ought to get excited, amen, about the power of the Holy Ghost. We ought to get excited, amen, about the fire of God that is placed inside of us. Amen. And quit being dead and dried up, but have a little bit of fire in us and step out and preach the message of a risen Savior today. I hate to see us dry up in our pews. Some people, you couldn't blow them out with a stick of dynamite. But we need to be, and I'm not talking about your shouting, and I'm not talking about all that. I'm talking about they just come in and it become a routine to them. We need to worship. We need to seek God. We need to find our purpose in God. And you're not going to do that with everything, all the other junk in this world. We need to eliminate distractions. Amen. Eliminate the things on the TV. Eliminate the things that we listen to on the radio. Amen. I'm telling you what, you listen to junk on TV and on the radio, you fill yourself with garbage. You know what's going to come out, Brian? Garbage. Amen. You fill your brain with garbage, what's going to come out is garbage. You eat garbage, you're going to be garbage. Amen. But if you begin to speak life and listen to life, amen, and listen to the message of Jesus Christ, and you begin to feed your soul with that, you know what's going to come out, Sandy? Life and hope and peace in Jesus Christ today. You know, the worst fish to eat is bottom feeders. Shrimp, catfish. But the best sheep, I mean, now I'm really messing up. Fish to eat is those ones like crappie. And bass, hey man, bottom feeders eat garbage. And I'm tired of God's people being a bottom feeder. Come on, people, listen to me. I got to get some water. I'm tired of God's people, amen, being bottom feeders. Amen, just letting garbage in, garbage in, garbage in, and then garbage comes out. You couldn't fight your way out of a wet paper sack if the devil come chasing you. And you know that's the truth. We need to, it's all mindset. That's all it is. I've allowed garbage in. You know, we get used to stuff. Sit down and watch a TV show. That's not so bad. You know, that's not so bad. And we allow that to feed us. See, they were free. And we shall see that they were given an unquenchable love for each other. They begin to preach the message. You go on down in Acts chapter 2. But Peter, we need more Peters in the church. I mean, he might have jumped the gun thousands of times, but at least Sister Lois, he was jumping the gun. He wasn't seat. You know, a lot of us come in, sit on our pew, and we seatbelt up. Ain't moving today. Put them seatbelts on. I like to see people jump the gun every now and then. At least they're jumping. So Peter standing up was the only one. And I'm not saying you got to shout. Don't get me wrong. You don't have to shout. I'm waiting for Sister and Brother Loudermilk just to get loose and shout all over this place. And when you do, I'm going to shout right with you. But you don't have to shout to worship. Okay? There's shouters, and I'm not much of a shouter. If I'm not preaching, I don't say a whole lot. You know what I mean? You say amen. That wasn't very good. So if I'm not preaching, I'm not much of a hoo-ha and running, and it's just not me. So what I'm saying, that's just not them. But if they do, Lord have mercy. I'm going to shout with them. So you don't have to shout, but you've got to get in. You've got to have a mindset to come to church and saying, Lord, in this service, I'm going to do it without limits. I'm not going to buckle my seatbelt. So Peter, only one of the apostles, standing up with the 11. And I don't know where the other ones are. They're probably behind Peter. Amen, amen, amen. You know, there's a lot of people in the back. Amen. And I appreciate the amens. Lifted up his voice and said to them, you men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. I love the directness. For these are not drunk, because they came out of the upper room. You ever seen people drunk in the spirit? Can't stand up. They wobble. They look like they've been drinking. They have. The new wine. But he says these guys aren't drunk, as you suppose, because it's only the third hour today. Who drinks at the third hour today? But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel, foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding it. And when the people heard this passage, this message, I'm telling you, look what happened. And when they heard this, I'm reading on in Acts, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles,
Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall recall. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this outward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now I'm telling you what, the final miracle of the Holy Ghost on that day was Pentecost, was the birth of something. The church was birthed. You may wonder why it's a miracle. I know human nature. You can't get 10 people to agree. Okay? You're lucky to get 10. Well, they got 120 excited in the upper room. That 120 come out of the upper room. As he said, these men aren't drunk, but they're under the power of the Holy Ghost. 120 came out of the upper room, and then 3,000 souls were saved and added to the church. They did this without limits. They sold out. They birthed a brand new movement that has changed the world. We must do this without limits. We must believe that he is who he says he is and step out in faith, remove all doubt, and live life without limits. Amen. 30 minutes after Pentecost, I was reading, 30 minutes after Pentecost, the apostles knew more about Jesus Christ than they did in the whole 3 years they were with him. Why? Because of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came, I believe, as you watch the cartoons, the idea, the light bulb came on. Bing. And they understood who he was. They understood what it was all about. Amen. They had known him for 3 years. They followed him, amen, as his disciples. The influence of Pentecost had given them a new capacity they had not experienced before. The infilling of the Spirit had given them the gift of faith prior to Pentecost. They were fully dependent upon Jesus Christ for everything that he did. Now he was gone. Now they had to do it themselves. Amen. He was no longer with them. Amen. Now they had to step out. Amen. Peter standing up and preaching to that mob, that group of people that had come in. Amen, to Jerusalem that day. And he began to preach at the Feast of Pentecost. And he began to tell them about this risen Savior. He began to tell them about how he was crucified, how they did it, but how God raised him up from the dead. All of a sudden, it pierced their hearts. All of a sudden, they said, what do we need to do? All of a sudden, 3,000 souls, amen, were added to the church. Amen, they had witnessed, amen, a brand new movement. Amen, he was talking about the resurrection. Amen. But now they didn't understand it. Oh, but now the apostles, with the greater personal meaning of it, with the gift of the Holy Ghost, amen, there was something birthed in them, came out of the upper room. Amen. The scattered pieces of the puzzle, amen, was put together. And all of a sudden now, oh, they had preached it for 3 years. They didn't quite understand it. But now they experienced the abundant life like they had never experienced before. And they begin to preach it. They begin to tell it. And all of a sudden, man, can you imagine? Amen. 3,000 people, amen, giving their life to Jesus Christ. Why? Because of 120 people that allowed the power of the Holy Ghost, amen, to do a work in their lives. For the first time, the apostles understood Calvary and the empty tomb. Their minds flooded with an understanding of why Christ had gone to the cross and what the resurrection really meant. Not only for the vindication of the Master, but for the victorious life that they now are living. They'd come alive like they had never come alive again. They knew it was true. See, that's not all. This new capacity to believe in what Christ had done for them begin to grow in them. You can't leave it lay dormant. Okay, we don't hibernate for 6 months. Okay? We don't wait for summer and then get on fire for God. We got to stay on fire for God 7/24. Well, I'll give you 8 hours of sleep, so it's a little less than that. But you got to stay on fire for God. Hey, man, can you imagine what he did through them? Without this, without them backing up, without them having no limits, their faith that they were given by the Spirit, amen, the salvation became a powerful, amen, force in their life, and they knew that nothing was impossible to them. Do we understand what we possess? I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. I'm not greater than you. You're not greater than me. Amen. We're all on the same level when it comes to God. You want to seek God and get all you can get? Man, go for it. Don't let nothing hold you back. Don't let nothing stop you. In Acts chapter, the next chapter 3, I believe it is you got in the notes here. And I'm not going to read it for time's sake. I was told I had 44 slides. I had to get moving and get with it and couldn't meddle. It's tough taking direction. Especially from your, well, I won't say, from your sister. Rhonda keeps me in line. She keeps us three boys in line like nobody's business. And she ain't afraid to tell it the way it is, Lois. Sometimes I wish she wouldn't, but she does. So here's Peter. John, going to the temple like they had done a million times. And they come up on this lame man. I don't know what was going through their mind. What do you think what was going through their mind? Man, something's different. I don't know what it is, John, but something's different. Yeah, Peter, I know what you mean, man. I feel different. I feel like something's just about ready to explode in me. And all of a sudden, that lame man, hey, got any money for me? Got any money for me? The Bible says those famous words out of Peter's mouth. Silver and gold have I none. But here's the key to your life. But such as I have. If you don't have it, you can't give it away. If you don't have it, you can't express it. Peter says, but such as I have, I give unto thee, rise up and walk. The Bible said that he had to reach down, amen, and grab him. Amen. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, amen, things begin to go back in place. I don't know if they were amazed. I don't know if they were overwhelmed. I don't know what they thought. I have no idea. If you read on, amen, Peter told them guys that he runs into the temple. I preached two or three weeks ago, maybe a month ago. The title of the message was No Other Name. And when that guy ran into the temple, amen, there was an excitement in there. And you had the Sanhedrin, you had all the Pharisees, you had all the priests, you had all the high priest, you had all them guys in there. And they all came down. And they wouldn't know what was going on. You know what Peter said? Peter said, I like people that stand up and not keep their mouth shut. Sometimes we need to, sometimes we don't. But Peter stood up and he looked at everybody around him. There might have been a crowd. And he says, I want to tell you right now, it is not by my name that this happened. It is not by my power that this happened. But it is by Jesus Christ whom you crucified and who God resurrected. Amen. He let it go. Bam. Right there. He let them know it was Jesus Christ. Amen. I didn't do it. Amen. John didn't do it. Amen. But it was Jesus Christ. I'm telling you what, people, we need to walk in. And if we have a testimony, we need to give it. We need to let people know what God's doing in our lives. We need to let know how God's moving in our lives. We need to say, hey, it's not by my power that this happened. It was years ago. Hey, man, I told this story. Our refrigerator, the ice maker broke. And I like ice. And I didn't want to have to go out and buy it. So you know what I did? I prayed for my refrigerator. I mean, I prayed for that thing so hard, sister. It should have been slayed out in the kitchen, but it wasn't. Hey, man, I'd walk by it and nothing happened. It'd been like 2 or 3 days later.
Amen. This is just a small thing in my life. And I walked by that stupid refrigerator, and you know what it did? It dumped ice. Eddie, I about shouted all over that kitchen. It wasn't a big thing, but it was the reminder that God's mindful of me. And if I can believe that He can move on a refrigerator, amen, my God can do all things. We got to live it without limits. We got to stand up and quit being ashamed. We got to stand up and quit being afraid and just say, I am who I am by the grace of God, and stand and live for righteousness' sake, and let our lights illuminate, amen, the cause of Jesus Christ. John says, Jesus spoke it in John, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do what? Nothing. So see, the fruit that the disciple bears is not what they do, but it's what the tree does. It's what the tree gives. That tree's Jesus Christ. It is His character reproduced in your life. It is His love reproduced in your life. And this will not come to pass without you abiding in Jesus Christ, making your home Him, and allow Him to come in. His life is shared with us as we give our life to Him. So He said, without me you can do nothing. No amount of planning. Oh man, no amount of studying. No amount of how many degrees you got hanging on your office at the church. And I don't have any. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm going to tell you what. Playing by note or ear ain't going to anoint you. Seminary school isn't going to anoint you. I don't care how many degrees you got, it's not going to anoint you. You can call me doctor, you can call me pastor, you can call me reverend. Whatever the term is in front is not going to anoint me. What's going to anoint me is making sure that I'm the branch and He's the roots. I'm seeking God. Amen. Acts chapter 3, the fruit that He put in His followers would produce something unbelievable. He had come to liberate. The apostles stepped out and looked at Him and believed Him. They fixed their eyes on Him, amen, and they allowed something to birth in them. I'm telling you what, we need to allow something to birth in us. I mean, if we look at the world, it's a mess. If we look at the world, what Peter and them guys did was absolutely amazing. The two apostles wasn't boasting when they said, look on us. I'm telling you what, chapter 3 there, Acts 3, 4, they said, look on us. I mean, they was trying to get His attention. I mean, He was trying to, I'm sure there was other people around. He didn't want to miss nobody. He was begging. Hey, you got a quarter. Hey, you got a dollar. Hey, you got a nickel. Hey, you got a dime. Peter was looking at, hey, stop that. Look on us. He had no idea what was going to take place in the next 10 minutes. Huh? He had no idea. They had cared about the man. If they didn't care about him, they would have walked on. Their request for His full attention expressed a deep compassion, and it quickened the man's expectation. Well, what are these guys going to give me? Man, maybe they got a big bundle they're going to give me. Maybe they got more money they're going to give me. And he stopped and looked at him. All of a sudden, the next 10 minutes, he was walking, healed the man. Could they? Dare they? Let's do it. Faith. Something happened. The gift of faith was given. Amen. He said them magic words, silver and gold. They're not magic words, but it was words of faith. It was a silver and gold have I none. The man might have wanted to turn away. Peter said, hey, but such as I have. Okay, I'll listen to what you've got to say. Man, what a powerful thing. All of a sudden, grace filled his life. These guys were living life without limits. I mean, it made everybody around them mad. They were taking away from the Sanhedrin.
Come on, people. Everybody wants that power. They do. Nobody wants to pay the price. That's the problem. Jesus said in Matthew, and I'm not going to read it all, and they were coming to the multitude. They came to him, a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sorely vexed, and oft times has fallen into the fire, and I bring him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Jesus said, hey, boys, what's up, O faithless and perverse generation? How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil out of him. You know, I like Jesus's. It was a rebuke. It wasn't a hatred rebuke, but it was a rebuke out of love. How long am I going to have to be here before you guys get it? For you guys understand? I tell you, when the Holy Ghost fell, they understood. His statement to the crowd, amen, as he said, you know, bring him here, and he prayed. The man brought his son to for deliverance. They could not cast out the demon. And when they reported to Jesus, he said, bring him here. This statement to the crowd was an exclamation of disappointment. We're not told of all what had happened. But when the disciples asked Jesus the reason for their failure, you know what he said? In Matthew, he said, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, and you shall say to this mountain, remove yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. But then the next one says, howbeit this kind go out, but not by prayer and fasting. See, there's a price to pay that we don't want to pay. There's a cost to pay that we don't want to pay. And I don't understand. I know it's not easy. I know we're not kind by nature. I know we're not loving by nature. Love my wife, love my kids, but man, the neighbor, he blows them leaves in my yard one more time and he's had it. He parks his car in front of my house. That's my parking spot. He's going to get it. You know, we don't love by nature. But like what Paul said in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. As we crucify the flesh and kill the flesh, then them leaves in my yard is not that big of a deal. Him parking in front of my house is not that big of a deal, okay? Him at 6 o'clock in the morning out there on a Saturday, amen, oh my gosh, the neighbor, my neighbor and the next neighbor, our boyfriend and girlfriend, and the neighbor two doors down, that's the boyfriend, has got a megaphone for a mouth. He is just loud. And we can hear him out there. Well, I'm not going to climb the fence and say, shut up. I'm not going to meet him in the front yard and say, hush. Just let it go. It's not that big of a deal. So he's saying that if we crucify the flesh, all right, all of a sudden things begin to change. If we crucify the flesh, amen, all of a sudden our understanding gets greater. All of a sudden this makes sense. Now the call that's in my life, the life I now live in the flesh, I live how? By the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. All of a sudden living by faith in the Son of God, amen, is to live in the Spirit. And all of a now I look at people differently. I see people differently. When I come across somebody, I talk to them, and when we go on our ways, I said, you know, I wonder if they're saved. I wonder if they know Jesus. I talk to people all the time, and you hear them say, and they don't want to hear it, but I get my little 2 cents in worth here and there. Amen. But I think differently. I wonder about things differently. Amen. Because I'm living in a new realm. I'm living in the kingdom of the Spirit where power is everybody's through the indwelling Christ. Amen. I like what Romans says. Amen. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And that's a great statement. That's a hard statement to understand. Amen. That if you're not living for Christ, you're not Jesus Christ person or part of Jesus Christ. You know, I thought we'd live so loosely today. The church lives so loosely. I was reading a story about a pastor who got on his wife's Facebook page and started looking at her pictures, and there was a picture of his 17-year-old daughter in her 2-piece bathing suit. And then the next picture was the daughter in a very revealing prom dress. And we wonder why the church is in the shape it's in. The Bible says, come out from among them, not for just saying that, but it's time that we do that. We stand for nothing. Amen. We stand for nothing. Amen. We'll stand for it as long as it doesn't interfere in our life. And I say it all the time. Are you walking the beat of a different drummer? Amen. Are you living your life without limits? The church has lost its identity. The church isn't like what it used to be. They want to be like everybody else. They want to live like everybody else. But Paul wrote to Timothy and says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and we are living in that day right now, where they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. We're living that way right now. We're running that way right now. And I don't know why the church isn't standing up. We want the numbers. Oh yeah, everybody wants the numbers. But nobody wants to preach the truth. Nobody wants to talk about heaven. Nobody wants to talk about hell. Nobody wants to talk about without Jesus, you're going to split hell wide open if you die. Nobody wants to talk about living right, thinking right, speaking right. Nobody wants to talk about walking in the Spirit. Nobody wants to talk about turning your back on the world. You might have to turn your back on friends. You might have to turn your back on those in the world that bring you down. And you might have to find a new set of friends. I'm almost 60 years old. I got 2 more years. That time has went fast. All them buddies I had in high school, not a one of them I hang around with today. Because we don't think alike, we don't act alike, we don't speak alike. There's things you got to change, but I have changed my life since I was 23 years old. And it's been the best change I've ever made. Nobody makes me do this. It's I want to do this. Nobody forces me to do this. It's I want to do this. This is the life I have chose to live because I understand where I was headed and I understand the power of sin. And I'm going to read this one scripture, then I'm going to close. Colossians chapter 2. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which is contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In Bible days, the way you broke a contract, it was either on a tablet or parchment paper. You drove a nail through it. And when you drove a nail through that tablet, it broke it. Or when you drove a nail through the parchment paper, it voided the contract. What it's talking about there was the contract of sin that was against us, the contract of the law that was against us. And when that Roman soldier drove that first nail in the hands of Jesus Christ, that contract of sin that was against you and me, was voided. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the cross. I thank God, Sister Loretta, that he paid the price, and he paid it for me. And because of that, we have been given such a great opportunity to speak it, to live it, and we need to live life without limits. Those around us that are hurting, we need to reach out to those. We've got family members that are hurting, we need to reach out to those. We've got people that their life's a mess, we need to reach out to those. Amen. We need to let the world know, amen, that there is a power, a greater anointing, amen, and his name is Jesus Christ. And if we don't, we're going to lose it. We're going to lose the world. And I want to make my mind up that we're not going to lose the world. Are we? Paul claimed that the power of darkness has been defeated. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all things that we ask or think, according to the power which worketh in us. Church, he is almighty. He is boundless. He is limitless. He has the everlasting power if we would just believe. If we will just believe to live life without limits, can we? And this scripture needs to be pasted on your refrigerator so that you look at it, because that's where we're at the most. Philippians says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The strength that he allows me to have and the grace that he allows me to have allows me to face anything that comes. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I have no idea. It was a year ago, I was in the hospital facing renal failure. I had no idea. I had lost my weight down to about 140 pounds. I had a kidney stone the size of a ping pong ball. My left kidney was swelling. I didn't know that. So I went and had a blood test, and my family doctor flipped out and said, your kidney numbers are off the chart. Had a CT scan. Next thing I know, I woke up one morning. That afternoon, I was in a hospital bed. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You have no idea. But because of my belief and faith in a higher power, I didn't fall apart. I was amazed. I figured when they come in there with all them needles, I'd be hiding under the bed. I was stuck and poked and went right through it. Two surgeries to get the stones out. And as I look back on that, I have no clue why it happened. Now, that's minor. Other people have gone through worse things than I have. But I don't know why I went through it. It's just a parrot surgery. A lot worse than mine. I have no idea. I'd suffered for months with this, and I was trusting God to heal me. If I heard one more family member yap at me about going to the doctor, I was going to put a bag over their head. I was trusting God. But it didn't work out that way. Why? I have no clue. I have no idea. But all I knew when I was in there, that what option do I have? I have to trust him. I've got to believe he knows what he's doing. I've got to believe that the path that I'm on, the righteous man's path, is ordered by God. I don't know why. I have no clue why. But I knew one thing, that I'm not giving up on God. I can't give up on the one who redeemed me, who died for me, who gave me this hope and this peace, who gave me an outlook. And so I'm going to live life without limits. I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to keep quiet. When there's an opportunity, I'm going to tell people about Jesus Christ. When there's an opening, I'm going to believe. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek God. And what God does, that's his business. But I'm going to believe that he is everything that I need him to be. I'm going to believe that he is sitting on the throne. I'm going to believe that he's full of power. And I'm going to believe that he's still God. I'm believing that family members are going to come in. Your husband. Your son. I believe he's going to heal Billy's mind and change his attitude. I believe that with everything within me. You don't want to believe it, that's fine. But I believe in a higher power. I believe in a redemptive power. I believe in a forgiving power. I believe in a God that will never fail me. So why don't we live life without limits? Why don't we hold back? Why don't we give in? Why don't we say, here I am, Lord. My life's a total disaster. Here I am. My life's a total mess. Here I am. Why can't we give it to God? I've never understood that. Well, the choice is yours today. You can live life without limits, or you can hold back and drag through this life and not experience the grace and the power of Jesus Christ. Choice is yours.